Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. As you are hopefully you are already aware that tomorrow is Veterans Day. What you may or may not be aware of is that Veterans Day was originally known as Armistice Day and is celebrated on the 11th day of the 11th month. And in the 11th hour in 1988 was when World War I ended. So it's celebrated on the 11th day of the 11th month, and in the 11th hour in 1918, World War I ended. The name was changed from Armistice Day to Veterans Day in 1954 at the urging of major U.S. veterans organizations who wanted to encourage the acknowledgement of all who served, regardless of when they served. Veterans are those who have answered the call to go. They've answered the call to serve, even when doing so means that they might be put in harm's way. Now, admittedly, all who serve have not done so voluntarily, but when their numbers were called, they answered. They showed up, and they went. But we know that not all whose numbers were called have gone. Some couldn't, some wouldn't, and some, like Jonah, fled for a distant land, hoping that somebody else would serve in their place. To those who did serve, thank you for your service. Jonah, as you heard from his story, did ultimately serve when called by God, but it wasn't until after he had tried to sail away to a distant land in the hopes of hiding like those who dodged the draft. Our reading begins where the story and the book of Jonah begins. It begins in chapter 1, and it begins with Jonah's number being called by God. God told Jonah to go. Go to Nineveh at once. And it was the immediacy of God's command, as well as the inhospitable destination that made Jonah flee to Tarshish. Where is Tarshish, you ask? Nobody knows. Did it ever exist? Nobody knows. He may have well have left and headed to Timbuktu. Because we don't know where Tarshish was. We do know that when Jonah went to Joppa to get on that boat, that whole trip he was going in the opposite direction of Nineveh, and that's the point being made. Now, Nineveh was one of the capitals of the Assyrian Empire, who at this point, the Assyrians had already conquered the northern kingdom of Israel where Jonah was from. And the Assyrians were known to be a violent, aggressive people who had conquered at this point most of the ancient Near East. They were a people to be feared. They would be enemy to any Hebrew person, but especially to a Hebrew prophet who had been told to go there to proclaim that their pending destruction was coming as a consequence of their wickedness. So Jonah went the other way. Instead, he went to Joppa and got on a ship, and he sailed away from Nineveh, away, he hoped, from the presence of the Lord. But it soon became obvious that Yahweh knew right where Jonah was. And Yahweh was not going to release Jonah from his call to go to Nineveh. We read that the Lord hurled wind at the sea. Can you imagine being in a boat in which the Lord has thrown wind at your poor boat so strong that the sailors, the professional sailors who were sailing that boat, were afraid? They were so afraid that each of them began to pray to his God in hopes that that would calm the seas. And they began to throw the cargo overboard, and then they realized that Jonah was asleep in the hold, and they woke him up and they asked him to pray to his God too, hoping and thinking that might help. And the winds still didn't die down, and the seas were still rough. And so they cast lots to decide whose fault this storm was. And the lots fell upon Jonah, and they said, okay, well, what should we do? Jonah said, throw me overboard. Maybe that'll help. But they didn't, at least not yet in the story. And they began to row harder and row harder, trying to get to dry land, but they made little to no progress. And ultimately, they decided, because nothing else had worked, maybe they needed to throw Jonah overboard. And when they did, the sea calmed. The wind quit blowing, and this boat full of sailors began to worship Yahweh. Unexpectedly, the reluctant prophet had inadvertently converted a boat full of sailors from worshiping their gods whom they had prayed to, and now they were worshiping the Lord. The same Lord who had called Jonah, who had hurled the wind at his boat, now sent a large fish into the sea to swallow Jonah and save him from drowning. Jonah was in the belly of that large fish for 3 days and three nights, and while he was there, he prayed to God. His prayer is recorded in the second chapter of his book that we skipped over in our reading this morning. Greg thanks us for doing that. But what you didn't read was Jonah's prayer to God, and at the end of chapter 2, right before chapter 3 begins, where we resumed our reading, we read that the fish spewed him out. Spewed him out onto dry land. He was regurgitated, I guess. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, giving him a second chance to respond to God's call, and this time Jonah answered. He responded to God's word. Jonah went to Nineveh, and on his first day he said, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. If that's the word God had given to Jonah, it's no wonder he didn't want to go to Nineveh. It's no wonder that he went in the opposite direction and tried to hide from God. It's no wonder that Jonah preferred being thrown into the sea to having to go to that notoriously violent heathen city to announce their destruction. For whatever reason, I always think of Jonah as a little guy. Maybe he wasn't, but it just seemed like he was particularly fragile to go into the city. Nonetheless, it would be terrifying. I don't know about you, I can relate to Jonah. Not the being swallowed by a large fish. That's never happened to me either. But the not going or ignoring God's call. You see, I don't want to have to go into a hostile environment and be prophetic. You know, that can get a person killed. Even if it's for their own good, I have found that people don't really like to be told that their sinfulness and their violence and their evil ways will lead to their destruction. And yet, can you think of a greater purpose than a person might give their life for than to share the good news of God's redemptive, life-giving love with those who need to hear it? We volunteer to serve in the armed forces and we allow ourselves to be sent into war. Yet few of us volunteer to be bold in our proclamation of the gospel and go into inhospitable places to do the same. Myself included, I get paid to preach to the choir. When the reality is that Nineveh is all around us, there are people who need to hear that their evil and violent ways will lead to their destruction. There are people all around us who need to hear that there is another way. There is another God, the one true God. So why are we afraid? Why do we think that we can flee to another land, that we can hide from God's call, that we can ignore God's word? It didn't work out so well for Jonah, did it? Well, maybe it did. You see, Jonah's life was spared a second time. God had spared him from drowning in the sea, and now God spares him from certain death in Nineveh. Not only did the Ninevites not kill Jonah, but they heard what he said and they believed. Probably more miraculous than being swallowed by a large fish. As a result of his very brief sermon, only five words in Hebrew, the wicked people of Nineveh, including their king, repented. They turned from their evil ways and they fasted. They put on sackcloth to demonstrate their change. And when God saw what they had done, God spared Nineveh. God forgave the Ninevites just as God forgives us. And God allowed them to live well past the 40 days in which he had intended to overthrow them. Does God change God's mind? I know that we change. We change when we repent. We change when we turn from our sin back to God. And when we do so, God forgives us. God receives us once again. And in doing so, when God receives us after we've repented of our sin and turned back to God, when God does that, is God changing God's mind? Or is God just simply responding to the change God has seen in each and every one of us? I suspect it's the latter, that God doesn't exact judgment upon us if and when we repent and turn back to God, just as God did to the Ninevites. Now, what we didn't read in this story, and Mr. Justin alluded to it with the children, was Jonah's response to God sparing the Ninevites. Chapter 4 of the story, the end of the book, the last chapter, concludes with Jonah being angry with God because God is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Can you imagine? You see, Jonah wanted God to smite the Ninevites because of their sin. He wanted God to smite the Ninevites because they had conquered his kingdom, his nation, his town, his people. Jonah wanted Nineveh to be judged, even though he himself had been spared of God's judgment. When God could have let Jonah die in the sea, God saved him. When God could have smited Jonah for not listening to God, God pursued him and gave him a second chance. Isn't that just like God? Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love? Isn't that maddening? Especially when we see it happening to other people. People we consider to be our enemies. I've never been in the armed forces, and I'm grateful that I have never experienced war firsthand. But my understanding is that soldiers are trained to have a distrust and a healthy fear of our enemies. And sometimes that can result in hatred. For how else could a person shoot at, bomb, or incapacitate another person or community? I suspect that Jonah had a similar distaste for Nineveh, which is why he was so angry when God was gracious to them. And we do the same. We do the same when we withhold the good news of God's love, God's grace, the power of God's redemptive and transformative words from our enemies. We, like Jonah, have been called to be prophetic to those we fear, to our neighbors that we don't trust, and even to those who have wronged us. For you see, they, like we, are in need of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. So what are we afraid of? What are you afraid of? God has called and is calling us to serve him. It's not for God's sake, but for the sake of the world. Amen.